week we read the parable of the sower, and in the middle was a reference when Jesus was asked, why do you speak in parables? He said, you've been blessed with understanding, but people will hear and will not understand, will hear and will not respond. And it was a quote from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And in a moment, I'm going to get you to do some work. You didn't know you were coming to work this morning, did you? In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Hovering around him were mighty seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with the remaining two they flew. In a great chorus they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The glorious singing shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke. Then I said, "My destruction is sealed, for I am a sinful man and a member of a sinful race. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew over to the altar, and he picked up a burning coal with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Lord, I'll go. Send me." And he said, "Yes, go. But tell my people this. You will hear my words, but you will not understand. You will see what I do, but you will not perceive its meaning. Harden the hearts of these people, close their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing." So I've got some pieces of paper for you and some pens. Now you need to clear enough space for a piece of paper and allocate yourself a scribe. There we are. And you've got two pieces of paper. On one piece of paper, and if you were here last week, you got some hints. I want you to write, what makes for a good harvest? I want you to think of all the circumstances, skills that might help a harvest. And on the other, I want you to think of all the barriers to a good harvest. And I'm not going to give you long, so scribble as fast as you can. What creates a good harvest? There's a pen. There you go. On your marks. Yeah. I mean, for the purpose of this, we're talking about a physical harvest. What are the circumstances, the training, the skills, the elements that are required for a good harvest? If you are a farmer or a grower. And what are the barriers? Feel free, talk to each other.
Two
Yeah, some of them will be the same on each one, because it's all about how much. Okay, what I want you to do now is put your hand up if you've got something, and I'll come round so that everyone can hear. So first of all, shout out things that are good for the harvest. Jan? Sunshine. Sunshine. Now, we will note that some of these things could equally be on the other side. Sunshine's good in the right amount at the right time. Sunshine's bad at the wrong time and in the wrong amount. Same with rain. But carry on. Anything else? Sunshine? What else do we need for a good harvest? Rain or water? Farmers? Yeah, they come in useful. Planning. Yeah, that's a good one. Good seed. Protection from disease. Yeah, disease protection. I'll put an arrow to the bad side, because if you get, diseased seed or disease in general, as well as diseases, what else do we have to protect our crops from?
Weather, climate,
animals, birds, snails. Pests, bugs. So if you've got bad things, you can shout them out as well. I'll put them on the right. Yes. And what you plant when and where. You shouldn't grow the same thing in the same place all the time. Yeah, workers. Yeah. Well, I'll just put that down as equipment. Patience. What about bad things? Have we got any more bad things? If you were here last week, you should have a few stones.
Too much water, too little water.
Yeah. Vandalism. Remember the thorns last week? The weeds. Yeah, politics. Yeah, politics. Greed. Yeah, workers. Anything else for bad harvest? Storage. We've already talked about the weather. It depends when it comes. Yeah, toxins. What about the soil? The right soil. That can be good and bad, or if it's the wrong soil. Purity. Seasons. You need to know your seasons. Plant things in the right place at the right time. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So on the good side, we've got weather, sunshine, rain. We've got farmers. We've got planning, good seed, disease. We've got varieties, moving things around. Because they used to leave fields fallow, didn't they, every so many years, so it could recover. Workers, equipment, patience. On the bad side, we've got, preparing the soil, stones, weeds. There's vandalism, theft, politics, greed, workers, pests, birds, snails, bugs. Storage, the weather can be good or bad. Toxins, purity when it comes to the seed. The right soil, the right place, the right season. Now, I'm only going to give you a couple of minutes to think about this. I want you, somebody was kind of ahead of themselves at the beginning, somewhere on your page, what are the spiritual equivalents? If you're trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to produce a good harvest, what are the spiritual equivalents of pests? What are the spiritual weeds and rocks? What about seasons? Good side. What's the right weather? In other words, what's the right environment for producing good fruit of the Spirit? On your marks, get set, go. I'm going to try and produce a list of these things on the good and the bad. So I want you to shout out so that David can hear what you think the good things are to produce a good spiritual harvest, and what are the things that get in the way? What stop a good spiritual harvest? Hands up. David. Hope. So elaborate on that. How do we produce hope in ourselves in order to produce a good harvest? Be positive. Testimony. So we tell the story, which will hopefully plant seeds in other people. So here's something. I'll put one down. We talked about the right kind of seed. It is good seed. We need to plant good seeds in ourselves and in our world if we want to produce a harvest. So in other words, if we plant bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, selfishness, or if we allow seeds of temptation to grow, it's not going to produce a good harvest. So what are the good seeds? Friendliness, encouragement. Motivation. Sorry? The right type. Where are you getting your seed from? There's nothing wrong with the internet, but if everything you know about God comes off the internet, make sure you know it's good seed. There's good seed on there, but there's a lot of bad seed. God's word. Loving others. And that means planting God's love in us in order that we have it to share with others. Anything else? Don't plant judgment. Or gossip. A good atmosphere. When we think about the weather, who do you spend time with? If you spend time with people who are always criticizing, the danger is it will rub off. So that's where the planning comes in. We have to go to people who are judgy. We have to go to people who are difficult. We need to show them love, but you need to be careful that the influence is going the right way. Yeah. 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 Faith. And when it rains, and it rains in our lives, when the storms come, how are your roots? To stand. Do you give up? Does the wind blow your faith away? How strong are you? Yeah. When it comes to a spiritual harvest, you might plant a seed of love in someone's life. You may never see it grow. Because it might be somebody else's job to water it. It might be somebody else's job to pull the weeds out from around it. It might be someone else who will see the harvest. But it doesn't mean you don't plant a seed of love. So I'm giving you something on your table to look at. There's two different versions. One is more for children or is simpler. It depends on how you like to learn. And this is a representation of a special kind of prayer. It's called the examen. Anybody heard of it? I put one up that end. There's one at this end. If anybody doesn't get one or can't see one, I'll photocopy you one after. But just share them out on the table. There's two different versions. There we go. One this end, pass one up that end. There we go. The examen. If David's got a version, he can put it up. In some churches and some traditions, people will pray this prayer every day. The idea is, I'm looking at the adult one for now, but you can take a look at the hand one, and that helps you to remember how to do the prayer. So thumb is be still, index finger is be grateful, notice, ask for help, look ahead. If that helps you to pray it. But the idea is we take time, whether it's every day, maybe at the end of a week, maybe at the end of a project when you've been working with people, maybe just every now and then you want to take stock of the spiritual harvest of your life. The state of your spiritual soul. And it says this at the beginning. And in the adult one, it's got words awareness, gratitude, ask God, presence, engage, which spells agape. Agape, depending on how you want to pronounce it, which is a Greek word for love. Agape is how I say it. So you begin, there's five stages to this prayer. We do this often. Take a deep breath. Ask God to be with you. Be ready to examine. Then there's gratitude. Practice an attitude of gratitude. Take a moment to thank God for the good things in your life. And if you're doing it daily or if you're thinking about a month, say to yourself what we've already done this morning. What am I thankful for? What are the blessings that I've seen today? And this is where you then invite God to guide your thoughts. Ask God what he wants to show you. This is the challenge. If we're willing to examine our lives and our harvest, what thoughts come to mind? And then if you're doing it daily or in whatever period you're looking at, you say to God, Show me the times when you were giving me an opportunity. Did I take it? Show me the people I've met today. How did I treat them? Show me the conversations I've had today. How many were gracious? How many were selfish? Maybe God will point out someone to you that you walked straight past. Yeah.
Are you using time?
And the important thing about prayers like this, whether you do it daily or weekly or maybe at the end of a project, or maybe God prompts you to do it because actually there's something he wants to tell you that's growing in your life that is getting in the way. It's a challenge to pray a prayer like this because God might not show you only the good things. He might show you the times you've... You know, it's about balance, isn't it? If your scales are such that when you look at your day or your week, you've spent 90% of your time moaning or complaining or being selfish. We're all human. We will all have a complaint or we'll have a bad day or we'll get... Who here doesn't ever get irritable? Frank's telling fibs. I'll pray for him. But there has to be balance. You know, when you're praying a prayer like this, how much time did you take with the person that makes you irritable and show them grace? So this is my challenge for you as we finish these 2 weeks on our thankfulness for the harvest, on our thankfulness to God, but also on the state of our spiritual garden. Take this prayer. It's available online if you want to have a look at it. There are different versions of it. Ask God to show you the weeds. The seeds that need to be sown. And then do, you know, the reason my garden is the way it is because it's been left to its own devices. And if I just leave the garden of my soul to its own devices, I hate to tell you, it'll end up like my garden. The weeds will creep. Branches will be where they shouldn't be. And you'll need someone to come in with a giant lopper like my husband to do some pruning. Take care of your spiritual garden and you will produce a harvest, not just in yourself, but in others. Let's pray. Father, I wonder what it would reveal if you could produce a hologram of the state of each of our spiritual gardens. Whose gardens would be full of bright blooms and juicy fruit? Whose gardens would have a corner tucked away full of thorns? But Lord, like any garden, it just takes care and planning and willingness to plant and willingness to root out, and we can all reflect the beauty of God. Make us willing, make us honest, and make us hard working. In the name of Jesus, amen.